to the phone lines and welcome our next guest. A presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. He was in the broadcast booth last night to watch that game. Here's Dave Poulin this morning. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Very well, JR. I'm not sure what you're talking about. It's a beautiful sunny morning in Montreal. It's a beautiful fall day. It's crisp. It's absolutely gorgeous out. And yeah, there weren't a lot of happy people there last night, without a doubt. And, you know, it's such a contradiction because people are so happy to be out and at the games. And there were many nights last season when my broadcast partner, Brian Mudrick, and I would walk the two blocks back to the hotel. And with the curfew and nobody in the seats, there wasn't a single person. Like, we wouldn't see one single person two-block walk. Well, there were a lot of people last night, and not as much grumbling as you might expect. I think, you know, even as frustrating as it's been on the start, I think there's still a lot of cred in the bank from the run last year, I really do. And a lot of understanding that this team has gone over some changes in the summer and that it might take a little time. So maybe not quite as, you know, as dire as it looks from the outside.
Do they boo the broadcasters when the Habs put on a poor performance on
they
the walk
do
back?
Not. Okay. They do not. And Brian was terrific last night. as terrific as you can be in a 5-0 call. But, you know, San Jose is another team that not only do we not know much about them, but we don't know much about them. I mean, you've got them coming in, and there's some players on the rosters, guys, that you're simply going to say, you know, who exactly is that? And I know there's one with a little bit of Ottawa history in Jonathan Dolan, who scored his first two career goals last night in his second career game. And you know, we actually did the story because Alex Burrows was on the bench for Montreal, and that was the trade between Ottawa and Vancouver when Dolan, the second-round pick of the Sens, went to West, and now he's in San Jose. But, you know, they've got some guys in that squad that you simply don't know a lot about, and you're doing your homework and your research, and you're saying, yeah, you know what, there's some interesting guys here, and they're clearly led by their two-star defensemen, and their two guys were really good last night. Carlson was good, and so was Brent Burns.
Pooley, could you sum it up as much as fresh new energy for San Jose, and for whatever reason, just not a great vibe around the Habs right now?
Yeah, it didn't start well, and it kind of snowballed from there. And it was down; they were down 2-0, and then killed a couple penalties and drew momentum from it. And it was a late goal; it ended up being Carlson's goal, where he just fired it from the point across at an angle, and it went off, I believe, Ben Chiarot's skate into the net. And that totally seemed to deflate Montreal. Like, they battled back using the energy of the penalty kill. And they're not skating like they were skating. You can look and say, okay, there's been changes and what's going on, but they're not attacking through the neutral zone with speed, and they're not supporting the puck like they do when they're at their best. And so what it's leading to is a lot of one-on-one play and a lot of mishandles. Caulfield struggled early last night. He had a couple scoring chances as the game progressed. But to a man, I would imagine that they would tell you they can play better. And when it snowballs like this early in the year, and I know we've talked already about how things get magnified early in the year, you know, if this is early December, you're going through a bad stretch. If it's the start of the year, it's a disaster. And already, you know, before game four, people are talking about whether you're going to make the playoffs. Well, it's, you know, it's the 19th of October. We can't be talking about the playoffs. We're going to be talking about the next shift and the next period, the next game.
If you were Dominique Ducharme and you're just trying to steady the ship, let alone get it going in the right direction, what would be the one or two things you would do right now just to try to get things back and going in the right direction?
I'd work on breakouts starting right at my own goal line, JR, and I'd have close puck support. And when Montreal was good through the neutral zone, they were allowed to have players like Jeff Petrie joining the play because of how well they supported the puck. And, you know, puck support, I think, is one of the most underrated things in hockey. And when I get my head up and look for a pass, what options do I have? Do I only have one? Do I have two? And when I taught it to young kids, I would put the puck, you know, on your stick as the quarterback with the ball. And if the quarterback's got the ball, everybody that's a receiver on the field is looking at him with his hands in a ready position to catch the ball. And yet, when someone's got the puck, you've got four other guys looking in a different direction or skating away, or their stick is off the ice, and you've got to have four receivers available for the puck carrier. And that's not happening in Montreal right now at all. And a lot of isolation and a lot of one-on-one, and guys are admirably trying to play well one-on-one and beat somebody, but that's not how it works. So I'd take the puck back to my own goal line, and I'd make 10 or 12 or 14 passes up the ice, and none of them would be longer than 5 feet.
Do you like the makeup of Dvorak with Drouin and Anderson and the makeup of Caulfield with Suzuki and Toffoli? And if that's the case, do you just give it time, Pooley?
I do. He already shifted away last night, and he put Caulfield with Gallagher and Adam Brooks. And Caulfield got his scoring chances when he was with those two guys. He had one on the power play, and then he had a couple with those two guys. I think there's still some work to do in terms of what works. I do like the components of Drouin, Dvorak, and Anderson. If you're going to say, okay, here's the components of a line, you know, you've got Anderson, the big power forward on one side, you've got the smart, you know, fairly conservative centerman who's defensively responsible in Dvorak, and then you've got the talented, you know, play driver on the left side in Drouin. So the components are there, and they looked good during the exhibition season when you're playing against lineups that aren't fully NHL lineups. I mean, Dvorak had a 4-point game and looked tremendous, you know, in the exhibition season. I'd be a little more patient with that one than I would maybe with Suzuki, Toffoli, but they've had their success, you know, and Caulfield. But I think Caulfield's still one you've got to work to figure out exactly where he fits in your lineup and how it's going to play out.
How much, if any, do you look at the long playoff run, it's shorter than usual off-season? How much do you pin a part of that on Montreal's slow start, if any?
Oh, I think it's a big part of it. And I don't think it's just the past season. I think it's the past two seasons for a lot of teams on what they went through and, you know, the changes in the locker room. And, you know, you've removed some pretty significant components from that locker room. You know, start with Carey Price and then go to Shea Weber and go to Philippe Deneau. And then say, you know what, Corey Perry had a pretty big impact on this hockey team last year. And so you just take those four players alone and remove them, and there's going to be a different dynamic and a different buzz, and, you know, things are going to be handled differently. And you know, Brendan Gallagher is a leader, but you can't just try and lead. The best way he can lead is to go out and play well and, you know, and be a factor on the ice. That's the best way to lead. And so I do think it's a significant factor, not as much for physical fatigue as for mentally what this team goes through. And, you know, I've been through long runs where, quite frankly, even with a full off season, you know, when you play until, you know, regular season until early June and you're banged up coming out of it, you know, seasons when it took me 6 weeks till physically I could get back in the gym. So anytime that compresses like that, it's certainly a factor, JR.
And they were the 18th best team, and you've taken away three key components, Pooley, so we'll see what they are. Simple change, would you bring up Primo and start him next game?
Oh, boy, that's one I would consider. I'm not sure exactly where they are with Samuel Montembeau, you know, in terms of how comfortable they are. They picked him up on waivers, and we've seen him a couple of times. And you've got to get Jake Allen some rest at some point. There's no doubt about that. You know, if you're looking at your schedule, you've got to get him some rest. You have a back-to-back, not till the end of the month coming up. And so you can run Jake Allen, but he had been really good until last night. And once again, there were a couple of deflections, and I'm not saying he was clearly at fault on an easy one last night, but a power play goal and a couple of deflections. And you've got to get him some rest at some point. And when you look at the early schedule, this is the deceptive part early in the year, guys. There was only, I believe, two playoff teams from last year in their first dozen games. And so you start 0-4 and you're looking ahead, and you've got one of them coming up in Carolina. But then, you know, all of the Detroit, Seattle's, Anaheim's, they've all won games. And so, you know, even San Jose coming in last night, no one's really picked them to be a juggernaut in the West, and they looked just fine last night. So there's so many unknowns early in the year. You know, you're looking at a 3-0 Buffalo team, and you're saying, well, you know, that was a game we looked at in the schedule and said, okay, well, you know, we've got to handle that game. Boy, in the early in the year, there's a lot of unknowns about what everybody else is doing and teams they haven't seen in a year plus to start with.
Last one on Montreal, for reasons that we're all aware of, Carolina-Montreal is a rivalry, and it's the Hurricanes coming to town to Montreal tomorrow. Is this a good time for Montreal? If we're talking about needing to dial in more emotionally to games, is this a great time for a visit by a team like Carolina?
It shouldn't really. It really shouldn't. They should be worrying about, you know, what's happening in-house and not the outside distractions of it. But I think it's a good storyline, and I think once the game starts, the storyline will end. I really do. I don't think it's going to be, you know, an ongoing one you know, that dramatically affects the fortunes of either team. I think it's, you know, they signed a young player because they had cap space in Kotkaniemi, and he goes down there, and, you know, it's an exciting time for him. But I don't think it's going to be an ongoing, overpowering storyline.
Isn't the rivalry between the managers, Pooley, and nothing to do with the players? No, but ultimately, right? I mean, I don't think anybody's mad at Kotkaniemi or mad at Aho or mad at Dvorak. It's more, hey, this is between Donnie Waddell and Mark Bergevin.
Yeah, I think it is. And I don't think, you know, you might even go higher than that. It might be the owner in Carolina who acted more than Donnie Waddell did. But, you know, so it may be more in the media room beforehand, if that's the case, Simmer.
I was struck as I watched the game last night and turned it on, at least, by the number of empty seats at the Bell Center. It's just something we're not used to. It's been a story here in Ottawa early. We're seeing empty seats across Canada. And you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins had a 14-year sellout streak and last night as well. Just from the Montreal point of view, was it a topic last night? And how jarring was it for you doing a lot of Montreal games? And last year, obviously, no fans for much of it, but jarring to see that many empty seats in Montreal.
Yeah, I thought about it right during the first period, and there's still a comfort level, I think, you know, as we go out, as we're starting to venture out in our own worlds into restaurants and things like that. You know, neighborhood restaurants that we know are always full and aren't quite full yet. So I think there's a comfort level with people, and I think there's also a corporate trickle-down comfort level on the seating and where they're going and what they're doing with them, because we know that corporations own a number of these seats as well. So maybe the communication to get them in the right hands of people who are willing to go down to the game and get back into it. So I think it's going to take time. I don't think the fact that we technically open the buildings to full capacity is going to mean they're right back to full capacity. I think it's got to be a phase up to that part of it as well.
I was thinking last night as I watched that game, if you're, you know, and we know the American-based teams don't like to play in the fall because it's football and people aren't paying attention to hockey. And so the Canadian teams have an inordinately high number of home games early on in the season. If you're a team like San Jose, isn't, you know, would you lobby the schedule maker, any team, to come play in Canada in the early part of the year, knowing that if there's ever going to be empty seats and a lack of atmosphere, this would be the time of year. And what a great time to go play games as opposed to March when everybody's all in.
Yeah, I think so. In, you know, in different buildings, I know that football is such a huge, huge factor. I mean, in Philadelphia, it was with the Eagles and you know, as much as anything. And we played right beside each other. So you were always cognizant of that through the fall. But, you know, I think, you know, these schedule makers, it's eerily similar year to year, Jared. When you really study a schedule, it doesn't vary a lot. You know, normally teams are doing the same thing within a structure from year to year. And so I don't think that changes a whole lot. But I do agree from your standpoint, you know, if you, and San Jose had kind of a weird one because they started with one game at home and then moved them immediately to the East Coast. And, you know, if I'm San Jose, I like getting on the road early and I like getting the guys together early, but it'll be even happier when they start 3-0.
Even from a health standpoint, Pooley, a lot better to come through when the weather's like this in Canada versus the middle of winter, right? But it
you
is.
You can't factor that in. Yeah,
no, but you come from a warm, you come from a warm market.
Yeah, most of those guys are so used to that anyway. Yeah. And, you know, you're in and out of cities now so quickly that it's not as much of a factor as probably we would think.
Thoughts on Ottawa now? Lineup, Matt Murray hopping back in. And do you like Stützle playing with your boy Tierney and Alex Formanton on the right side?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I like the thought of putting him back with Pinto and Connor Brown, and principally because of Connor Brown and the play that he has. And so you've got the advantage of options because of how well Chris Tierney started and how well Alex Formanton's skating. And we spoke about, you know, anybody benefiting from the absence of Brady Tkachuk early, it was Alex Formanton, you know, who jumped up on that line with Norris and Batherson and was so strong in doing it and got so confident in his own game and now has carried that over. So there's tons of speed there for Tierney in the middle. Tierney's got to continue to play with pace. And I think when he struggles, he doesn't play with pace. But right now he is. And so that's a real positive. But, you know, Stützle, I think he's a multidimensional player and, you know, he can drive a line on his own as well. So once again, you know, similar to what I spoke about earlier, when guys are playing well, then coaches have options. And it's not the year, you're not doing it out of where are we going to put this guy. You're doing it out of, boy, we have options of where to put, you know, Timmy Stützle right now. And so there'll be a lot of excitement in the building and then the magnifying glass won't be on him. It'll be on that first line Brady Tkachuk. And I understand the theory behind Tinto, Connor Brown, and Paul playing together because you're maximizing what Paul is. So when you're putting the lines together, you know, that's another factor you have to think about is maximizing each individual within what you want to do as a team.
Also on Tierney, reporter found out he had a bad back, heard it before camp last year. Pooley, I know you had played with some injuries. What is it like to go through a year also down 12 pounds? Well, it's obvious, but what would the difference be for a healthy player like Tierney?
Well, physically it's huge because you're starting behind it every day. I mean, when you start most days on the training table to get loosened up to play, that's a tough way to play hockey. It simply is. And then you learn to compensate because you're a pro and you've played, you know, you've played as much as you've played. You can compensate and survive, but that's what you're doing. So you're not playing on the over edge. You're just playing to survive out there. And, you know, I've gone through years where I've had lingering injuries and I had particularly leg muscle injuries, and you're not skating at 100%. Now, you can be effective at your own 70%, but it's not your 100%. And you get in that mode, and mentally, physically, it takes so much out of you. So I think to be 100% healthy and, you know, and then have people understand that as well and have confidence in you, because you know when a coach has confidence in you, and right now he does in Chris Tierney.
Just an overall, before we let you go, we talked about Montreal obviously being 0-4. Chicago doesn't have a win in four games. Winnipeg doesn't have a win in three games. And then we've got Buffalo at 3-0. Incredibly so, Minnesota is 3-0. Edmonton 3-0. Back from your times in management with the Leafs and just as a coach. And how many games kind of do you put under your belt before you kind of go, okay, I have a little bit of an idea of what I have here?
JR, so much depends on you know, coming in, what you were thinking. And you know, we have a lot of unknowns now. We have a lot of teams we haven't seen. And we're assessing, you know, what the New York Islanders are going to be because of what they did last year. But, you know, we didn't really see them. We didn't know about Chicago. I thought Chicago would get off to a great start just with the additions of Fleury and Jonathan Toews and Seth Jones. And so, you know, in terms of how much time, the American Thanksgiving was always, it was late November, but that gave you about 20 games in, and I think that's still a fair barometer to assess your squad and see where you're at.
All right, good stuff. Do you stay in Montreal for the game tomorrow night?
I do. I'm here through tomorrow night, and then I have San Jose and Toronto right back on Friday night in Toronto.
So what is Dave Poulin going to do on an off day in Montreal? What kind of trouble can you get into?
A lot of catch-up stuff. It'll be a good research day for me, actually. And I'll dig deeper into everything I'm watching around the league.
Nice. Or maybe lunch in Crescent Street and who knows what after
that's a possibility.
There you go. All right, good stuff. Appreciate the time, as always. Look forward to talking to you again on Friday.
Okay, guys. Have a great day. Thanks.